That music could mean only one thing.
Mm-hmm. He's
Thomas
here.
Maverick is in the building with us.
Ooh.
Adam Kinzinger represents the 16th Congressional District of Illinois.
I do.
The scintillating 16th, as it's known.
Do you your theme music? Or
I love my theme music.
I like
That's
it
great.
It suits you.
Okay. You know, I did a dinner, though, by the way, the other day in D.C., and I spoke at it, and I came out to Radioactive by Imagine Dragons. That was cool.
It works, too.
Yeah, and I don't know what radioactive totally means, but it just sounded tough.
Brian, hey, help a brother out, would you?
You got that?
Let's go find that. I know we got
to
it somewhere.
Contrast it with
yeah. So we got that. That's good. You know,
might be a new one.
You know, a congressman like a major league pitcher should have his own walk-in music. I think that's the most important thing.
We'll just get a tuba to follow us.
Did you have... all right, a couple things. Number one, I want to ask you about the Trumpy Cruzy thing that's happening here today.
Yeah.
All right, so you had Donald Trump get mad about the fact that the Super PAC was running ads showing Melania from a almost naked photo shoot that she did years and years and years ago, and saying, "Is this what you want to be your first lady?" And then vote for Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
So he thought Ted Cruz was behind it. Ted Cruz. He says, "I'm going to spill the beans on Heidi Cruz, Ted's wife." Now, Ted, you just heard in the news, he's just super mad. That's it. You've involved my wife and my kids, and that's it. I'm coming after you. And then they ask him, "Well, will you support Donald Trump if he's the nominee?" And Ted Cruz goes, "I'm going to beat him." Well, he's not going to beat him. He's not going to beat him straight up.
Yeah.
Can't do it. What happens here?
Yeah, look, I think it's more and more likely this goes to a brokered convention. Look, some people think when they hear brokered convention, they think this is some, RNC plot to usurp Trump. It's not. It's just what happens. If you don't have a majority, these delegates get together and figure out who's going to be the nominee, and it can be anybody at that point. But, yeah, I mean, this just goes to show, and this has kind of been my bigger concern about Trump, even beyond some of the things he just says, is what he's done to the American political system. It's never a pretty system, and this, nobody's faultless, but his insults he tweets out, I mean, the fact that he's a tough guy on Twitter, that kind of stuff, and calling him Lion Ted and Little Marco, I mean, it's childish, it's fourth grade stuff, and I fear the lasting damage that this does to the office of the presidency, which should be a statesman role. You can disagree about issues. It can even get personal, but this is getting stupid.
Do you think what's happening right now with the terror attacks in Brussels and Paris are helping Trump? I mean, everyone's saying that this is giving him more momentum because he's talking the toughest about it. He's trying to shut down Muslims from Syria, yeah, from coming to this country, the building the wall philosophy. It feels like this may be helping him. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, it might be. And if it is, it's because, again, he talks tough. Trump is not a tough guy. I think people need to understand that. He can't stay in a hotel room because it's too germy. I mean,
he's like
in
that way.
He's not a tough
very
guy.
Very much like me, yeah. Well, he's never thrown nor taken a punch.
Right,
like me.
Yeah.
He talks about how far he can hit the ball on a golf course.
He cries a lot.
Right, he talks about it. How tough is it? Well, I've been in many club championships.
He tried to claim he's a veteran because he went to a military school, like a prep school. I mean, so this, look, he's not a tough guy, but regardless, he is talking tough. The problem is when you look at what he says, it sounds tough, but when you say things like banning all Muslims, and I know there's a lot of support for that, the reality is if we're going to win this war on terror, if we're going to win against ISIS, our best allies are going to be moderate Muslims. They're the ones that can give us the intelligence in these communities. They're the ones that can help us in the Middle East. And when you say we want to ban all Muslims and you paint a billion people with a broad brush, mm-hmm, you don't bring allies like this into the fold. So political rhetoric he's really good at. But realistically, if we actually want to achieve things and not just sound cool talking about it, his policies are very detrimental.
Well, detrimental? If you think about what our allies in Turkey... Think about this for a second. Just think about what the Turks, and Turks are really, you've been there, you've been around that, you've been in that region a lot, obviously, as an Air Force officer and then as a congressman. And you think about what happens there. Now, the Turkish government is changing. It's not changing in a more pro-Western way. It's actually kind of leaning a little toward the Islamic Brotherhood, not leaning a little, it's leaning more toward it. The Turkish Prime Minister's wife has been talking about, or is it president there? I can't remember. Was talking about
Erdogan.
Maybe that, you know, this idea of harems is an okay one. It's a socialization thing. I mean, there's a lot of Wahhabism that's going on there that's influencing what's happening there, and that's not necessarily good. And if Trump is the tipping point for that, Turkey is truly where all the trouble in the world begins and ends.
Yeah,
right?
It's the bridge. It's the bridge between Europe and the Middle East.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, if you stand at the Bosphorus River, one end you're in Europe, the other end you're in the Middle East. And this is, you know, when you make broad statements and when you overgeneralize and say, I mean, anybody that has been to Turkey, you see a lot of Muslim people that are really moderate and really good folks, and they'll even drink alcohol with you sometimes. But when you alienate them...
That's how Adam and I look at this, yeah, by the way. How good of a friend...
Right. Are you cool or not? Yeah. Let's have a drink.
Where are you at on the drink meter? So, but when you look at that, you know, you make these broad statements, you alienate them, and that gives, frankly, Erdogan an opportunity to drive his country even more into Islam and more into that radicalization.
And what is one of Turkey's biggest borders? Syria.
Yeah.
Right?
Huge.
I mean, so you got to think about... And what, you know, what's happening there. You also have to think about the rest of our allies in Europe and the rest of our allies in the Americas, too, because once you get south of the Arizona, Texas, California, New Mexico border there, I'm trying to say the Mexican border. Thank you. I'm like in eighth grade. Once you get south of that border, I mean, every country south of there goes, are they talking about us?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's not just Mexico. Are they talking? You know, if you're in Venezuela, they've got a political problem with the United States. But anywhere in Central America, too, whether, you know, you're dealing with Nicaragua or El Salvador, you know, or any of those countries that are sending people up here.
Yeah. And we cannot get sucked into this, like, this kind of dark belief that we can just pull out of the rest of the world, put up the walls, and let the rest of the world burn and we'll be just fine. Every time we've tried that in history, it's led to disaster. After World War I, and then after World War II, we realize we can't ever do that again. I'm afraid that, you know, a guy like Trump and some of the conversation you've been hearing is turning the post-World War II order on its head. And that's a very dangerous thing.
Cruz, though, is a guy that I think... There were a lot of people in the Republican Party, and you can speak to this a little bit better than anybody, because you sit in those caucuses, you have leadership talk to you about the politics of this and also the operations of it. Cruz didn't have a lot of friends on Capitol Hill,
none.
Right?
Yeah.
None.
Yeah.
Right. None.
Apparently, he didn't have any friends in college either. Did you hear his college roommate come out and talk about that?
Nope.
Yeah. So it's sort
he's
of a
difficult
theme.
Guy. He's a contrarian. Right. No matter what you tell him, he goes the other way, mm-hmm. Right? This guy's great. No, it's blue.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So how does he get things done in Washington?
So, look, I think Cruz adapts. I think he knows how to adapt. I think part of his shtick he's done over the last 4 years is he does understand the electorate is angry, and he knows he can be the angry guy that shuts down the government, and that'll work for him. I think when he becomes president, if he does, he would understand that he has to manage that a lot better. You know, look, I'm not a Cruz fan, but when I compare him to Donald Trump, I look at that and say, at least Cruz would not disrespect the office of the presidency. At least Cruz has a somewhat coherent foreign policy. At least when he talks, he talks, I guess, like a president. So I disagreed a lot with Cruz's tactics, and that's where a lot of my dislike came from him. But when it comes to a lot of policy, I see probably eye to eye on a lot of things with him.
If it's Trump, should they run a third party?
It's hard for me
would
to say.
Would you like to run for president?
Yeah.
Would you like to announce right now?
right here. Look, I have a hard time seeing how I could ever vote for Donald Trump, even if he's the nominee. I'm an American before I'm a Republican. Now, I'm not going to vote for Hillary Clinton, let's be clear. But, you know, there's write-ins or just abstaining from that vote. But I have a hard time seeing how I could pull the trigger for him.
You were supporting Kasich at one point, weren't you?
No, I was with Bush and Rubio, okay. So obviously my endorsement does a lot
for
people.
Yeah, it's not
so.
Representative.
Maybe
working.
I should endorse but Trump
the,
and then he'll...
The Kasich camp, try to explain something.
Crash.
Explain something to us, because the Kasich camp is still saying that he will win a brokered or contested convention. They're saying that he's the best choice to beat Hillary, but he's still so far behind. And you wonder, I mean, is there a path, a Kasich path to presidency without disrupting or obliterating the party?
Yeah.
He does have the best numbers against Hillary of all of them. He beats her by double digits.
Absolutely. And by the way, the only one that loses to Hillary is Trump, and he loses by 12 points. Kasich beats her by 12, Cruz by a couple points.
So I think for Republicans, and I mean, obviously it's a conversation specifically for them, but wouldn't it make sense for Republicans to go with Kasich?
I think so. With the folks that are left, I think so. The problem is I don't see his path right now. Now, he may win a few states. Look, he's competitive in Pennsylvania. It'd be great if he takes that away from Trump. There's areas in the East where he's competitive. And I think his position is, look, if we go to a brokered convention, he can maybe put himself up as vice president, even though he says he's not interested. Or maybe he has a path on the third ballot. It's a legitimate point from him. Where I'm concerned about is the Kasich-Cruz vote is splitting and Trump could find himself sailing through.
That is an issue, because the more Kasich seems powerful, Kasich has to remain relevant. But the more relevant he is, the more he pairs off. And you've got places, this is the scary, Pennsylvania becomes a very scary moment, and Wisconsin, the scariest moment. Because Wisconsin is gaining, Kasich is gaining traction in Wisconsin at the expense of Cruz.
Yeah.
Whoever wins Wisconsin, if Trump wins Wisconsin, this thing is over, O-V-E-R. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't need anything else.
And I mean, Kasich, by the way, the way Kasich talks is what I think Republicans need to be embracing. It's like an optimistic view. It's a focus on people that, you know, are in a position of need and in poverty. He has a great message. The problem is he's catching fire too late.
Mm-hmm. Well, in part because I don't even understand. You know what? Stay right there, Congressman.
I'll stay right here.
Stay right here. It's snowing outside. You don't want to go outside.
It was sleeting. Snowing. And now it's snowing.
Yeah.
Goodness.
It's what? Where is Skilling? I am going
to
kick his.
You better talk to him.
There you go.
Yeah.
Congressman Adam Kinzinger. This is his new walk-in music.
I'm going to go fight somebody now.
Some serious.
Punching is the new black for politicians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got to get a couple punches in.
Right. Exactly.
Be taken seriously. You're not tough on anything. So you punch somebody out.
That's what Trump needs to do. Trump needs to. We'd like to see Trump in the ring somewhere.
Yes.
You know, I think Bernie,
I'll fight him. Whatever.
I think Bernie Sanders would kick his ass. I'm gonna be honest with you.
Yeah.
I honestly do.
He tweets tough.
He does.
And a tweet off, he would win any day.
Oh, no question.
But not in an actual, real, physical altercation.
No. And
I think he'd cry. Honestly, I think he'd cry pretty quickly.
You know, the thing that gets me more than anything else. Is not, you know, you talked about it a little bit, his disrespect for the office of the presidency, but I think also his disrespect for the military. And he talks tough of what he's going to do that, we're going to have the best military ever, we're going to have this, we're going to have that. But then he talks about cutting NATO.
Yep.
He talks about, when asked who his military advisors are, he gives us Captain Crunch, Colonel Sanders, and General Tyers, right? People no one ever heard of before. He then talks about how there are certain programs that are good and they're bad, but he doesn't know anything about them. And
he didn't know what a nuclear triad was.
I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And that's, by the way, the nuclear triad is what his finger would be on in the briefcase that goes with him.
Yep. And he said, you know, I'll be so good at the military, your head will spin. And, you know, the other thing that gets me, and again, it's no disrespect to people that are supporting him. There's good people that are supporting him, and I respect that. But what gets me about him is just the utter ununderstanding of the military, to the extent where he says, I'm going to do way worse than waterboarding, and that's okay. And he says, we're going to kill innocent civilians, family members of terrorists. That's a war crime, by the way. And if a private in the military is ordered by his colonel or even his commander-in-chief to target innocents, he is guilty of a war crime and will go to jail. So he, at one point, he walked it back. Sure, he walks everything back. But at one point, because of his lack of understanding, advocated for the military to commit war crimes. And that's a big deal. That's not just, Trump being Trump. That's huge.
They just, with all due respect to Violetta, she's not taking the news well today. But, you know, that Serbian war criminal that just got 40 years, right?
Yeah.
Radovich or whatever his name was.
Yeah.
This is serious business, and the rest of the world has to depend on this. And I love, he's talking to people who wish to be, they've been hurt by the American economy.
Yes,
they're worried about internationalism. They're worried about all of those things. I get it. But if you throw the walls up, virtual or real, and you say, you know, I mean, keeping border security is one thing. There's you work a border security mission.
I do, yeah, yeah, and I believe in it.
And so this isn't about bad border security. This is about saying, screw you to the world. We'll handle it all internally. Would be so ruinous to the economy. That will make your head spin.
That's right. That's right. It's tempting. It's easy to get brought into it. And people have legitimate grievances. People are upset. They're angry. They feel disaffected. But Trump is not the guy that's going to fix that.
Right.
But how does the party not support him if he is truly the choice of the people? Isn't that...
Well, the people...
But this is the process, isn't it, Congressman?
Yeah.
This is the process that's set up by the party, and then they don't like the outcome.
Well, the process
so then
is bad.
No, look, I think...
We're gonna change the rules.
I think if he gets the nomination, I personally believe he will be the legitimate candidate for the Republican Party. Okay. What I'm saying for me, though, is, as an American, I have a decision to make.
All right. Okay. Congressman, thank you very much.
You
appreciate
bet.
It. It's 5 o'clock right now on 720 WGN Chicago, and we've got Judy's News coming your way in 2 minutes.